more and more people want to be known as thought leaders. So that's probably our number one request. We get executives. I was actually at a CPA firm. Any CPA firms in here? I didn't think so. So I love this CPA firm because when you look at their website, it looked like a marketing website, and nobody on the website had a tie on. 500 people. Nobody had a tie on. Now, I used to work a couple decades ago, now that I date myself, at a CPA firm. Ties were mandatory, and I fought for no tie. So I thought, wow, this is cool. So I'm giving this presentation about just about social media, and lo and behold, the guy at the top, the managing partner, argues with me. All of a sudden, he's the one that paid me. He's the one that talked to me on the phone and hired me. He says, I think this is a bunch of junk. I don't think social media is going to work. And then all of a sudden, I got all these big eyes in the room. So then I turned the tables. I said, how many people in here generate business for this firm on social media? 20% of the room raised their hand. So I turned around and I said, Steve, what if everybody raised their hand? So we're in a very changing world, a very changing dynamic, where we're not only developing and promoting thought leadership, but sometimes we have to convince the clients or the people above us to understand why we're doing this and what we're doing. Does anybody else in here deal with that in terms of having to convince somebody that this is the right thing to do? So the way that we do that is we always tie it back to conversion. You'll notice the question that I asked, is anybody else, I mean, come on, he's the managing partner. He's the one. His name's part of the firm. He cares about, is anybody generating business? So everything I'm going to talk to you about today always has to do with how do we tie it back to monetization and generating business? So two things is that sometimes we tie everything to education. So it's true, we have an academy, and if you stop by our booth, we give you access to the academy. Why is that? Why would we give away all of our secrets? Well, because we want you to learn, but we want you to trust us that we know what we're talking about. So we do that through education, and we deliver the education through video. So a lot of times when we're with our clients, we're thinking, do you have something that you know very well that other people want to know, and can we attach it to education? So sometimes it's edutainment. Sometimes it's funnier. It's got a little comedy tied to it. Sometimes it's more serious and a little more tutorial-like. But at the end of the day, we're helping the people that are delivering that news or that stuff sort of become influencers. So we look at everything that we do through video as if it's influencer marketing. So I'm going to show you our process and our system for doing that. And then at the end, we want to be able to feature maybe customers, employees, people of that nature. Now, in terms of vehicles of digital influence, we're going to focus on video and webcast. Before we do that, we look at every social media channel. So I have an event marketing background. Who here has an event marketing background? Nobody? Oh, two of my people. Oh, no, somebody else in the back there. So we look at Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn like a big event, just like a big networking event with a bunch of people. So whenever we would go and work an event, first thing we would do is we had some principles of how we would work that event. How are we going to maximize that event and get as much business out of that as possible? So when we look at Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, we look at those platforms like a big event. So think of that in context as I continue. So types of video streaming. We have sort of a stream, which is more of a impulse, or it's a campaign, or it's an event. Now, I was just talking earlier with some colleagues, and we said, Well, I think one of the things that makes whether it's a stream or it's a video successful, is it planned or is it framed? Framed means that it has somewhat of a framed structure to it. And I'm going to show you the example of a framed structure. Sometimes we have productions that are planned out step by step, a lot of scripting. Even though there's conversation, they're very well planned out. So I'm going to show you examples of how we approach both of those. But at the end, we still treat each and every one like its own event. Okay, about platforms, social streaming. Yes, it is now a term. If you say it out in the real world, people are probably not going to know what the heck you're talking about. It's another marketing term. Just like influencer marketing, it's getting hot, but there's still a lot of people that don't know what you're talking about. So basically, social streaming, how many people are still using Periscope in here? Look around. Look at all those people. I thought that was going to be the one. So, but you did use it, right? Everybody tried it, right? So, but nothing really happening. So Facebook seems to have the popular market on social streaming. Instagram is good for that as well. Of course, it's owned by Facebook. Google has taken many shots, and there's still a ton of people using Hangouts. How many people using Hangouts? Good. So it's still a viable tool. It still works. It has a lot of good plugins. You can use multi-camera installations with it. And then YouTube streaming. How many people are doing that? Few. Okay, so you're going to see that take a bigger trend. So I'll tell you the difference in how we look at these. But with webinars, we have WebEx, GoToWebinar, which is now owned by LogMeIn, Zoom, ClickWebinar, OnStream, On24, and about 25 others that we're tracking. Webcasting. The difference in webcasting is you usually have a professional camera connected, and it's more about the faces of the people than it is about the content. So with webinars, it's more focused on delivering content. On webcasting, it's more like a broadcast. So in our world, we use Adobe Connect, BlueJeans, sometimes Skype, MediaSite if we have a multi-camera shoot, but those are more for higher-end productions, if you will. Now, what you're seeing is you're seeing the worlds cross over. You're seeing webinars starting to focus a little more on digital HD and cameras, and you're seeing webcasts doing more content sharing. Sometimes budget comes into play on this. Okay, let's talk to three steps about successful social streaming. Okay, so as we look at this, the first one is no matter what, you want to plan the production. Okay, so as we look at this, we usually say plot one day ahead, if you can. So even if we're doing a live production and we want to do a behind the scenes, we're like, plot your topic. But make it one topic. Don't try to fit multiple topics into a single stream. It just tends to confuse the audience. The other thing is, know your target audience. So if it's a business audience, you're probably not going to get good or great success with Facebook live streaming. So that's where you might want to use one of your webcast platforms or things like that. So we do a lot of audience matching when we make this determination. We always think about attachment. Attachment means thinking about hashtags, thinking about tagging. How can we attach other networks to what we're doing? Is there an opportunity to tag? One interesting thing about this is that Facebook, because of Zuckerberg being on Capitol Hill, is making some tagging changes. We've already started to see some of this. It's making our jobs a little more difficult. So one of the things that we do is we make sure that not only do we have permission from the people that we're going to include in our video, but we also make sure that we have them connected to our networks. So we have a whole checklist of things that we do when we're working with anybody, our influencers or just regular business folks. And if you want that checklist, we can get you a copy of that checklist. Determine the best time for the audience. So you'll notice when we were shooting, we have a B2B webcast called Influence Factory, where we basically interview influencers. Well, we do that at noon. We tested a bunch of different times, and we found that if we live cast at noon, we're hitting people usually around lunch, like a lunch and learn. So we found that whether it was West Coast, East Coast, that it was a popular time, and we just had a bigger audience. So a lot of times you either want to poll your audience or you want to see and test when that audience is going to arrive. The other is it paid or free? So as you look at this, how is this affected? So what's interesting is YouTube has now attached a whole commerce mechanism to YouTube Live. Camera orientation. So sometimes when you're shooting, you have a vertical camera orientation or horizontal. If you're doing Facebook Live, it really shoots best, just like with Snapchat, where you have a vertical orientation. If you're shooting on YouTube, it has a preferred horizontal. So it depends on where your orientation is and what type of shoot that you're doing that you might pick these. And then the most important thing, know where you're taking your audience. Where are they going to go after this? So let's talk about some of that. So power move two is to talk with your audience. One of the best things we ever did is that we were conversational. So we're going to do a sample shoot in here in a few minutes, and we're going to sort of do a sample demonstration. And our goal is to tell people that we're at the Social Media Strategy Summit, and what we'd like to do is tell them what we're learning at the summit, and then tell them, hey, listen, what I'd like to do is maybe invite you to join me at the next Social Media Strategy Summit. They're going to have a virtual conference online in July, and I think it'd be cool if you go there. Who's willing to do this with us? Who's learning something at the conference so far that'd be willing to share? Okay, I got one. Who else? Two people on the aisle, Jackson. It couldn't get much better than that. So as we do this, we're going to be tagging a couple organizations. We're going to be tagging our organization, Social Media Strategy Summit, and we're going to be using some hashtags. So Jackson, go ahead. Let's light this up. And so he's going to narrate, and he's going to start a conversation with the audience on here. And then remember, the goal is, what have you learned at the Social Media Strategy Summit? Do you think it's valuable? And should people go to the next virtual conference? Ready, Jackson? Whenever you're up. Now, a couple of, how many people do Facebook Live in here? Beautiful, beautiful. So there's a whole bunch of new devices that we found that are out there that are pretty handy. So Joby makes a few and a few others. So what have you guys found to be useful in terms of the devices that you use? Wait, all of you are using it, but you're not using it? Yes? Right. So Jackson has, a windshield, what I call a fuzzy mic on his, and then he also has a light. So Jackson, interview your guest. And what's the name of your agency? And what's your website? Is it a great website to go to? Good. Well, thank you. We have about 62 million followers, so I'll love to hear that. Jackson, we have another person right up here that'd like to share. Here she comes. He's right behind you. Okay, so Jackson, bring it up. So we're going to close out with the fact that this summit is very good. I mean, if you pan the room really quick, look at all these folks here that are learning, not just from somebody that's in front of the room, but they're learning from each other. I think... Give us a little love here. Thank you. So we're going to have a virtual conference coming up in July, so we hope everybody can make it, including everybody out here. So we'll see you there. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jackson. Give him a hand, okay, for playing all this. So there was an invite there. There wasn't even a website mentioned or anything like that. It was what we call a soft invite. So it's more approachable, more sociable. That was framed. It wasn't scripted. So we find that we have a higher value, we have a higher turn point, we have a higher conversion point if we can have things that are a little more structured, a little more framed, but we have the intent to take them on a next piece of the journey. So I'm going to fast forward to a few things. This is what we call a crossover shoot. So this is something where we have like a webcast where we have the whole team on and we have actually some content below. And then what we do is we pan back and we go to more of a conversational shot where we're just enjoying the other person, we're having fun, and we're really getting to that point of
Leonard says, how much, you know, and I think, you know, I mean, a lot of us know the answer to this, but I think this is sort of a loaded question. How much do others prefer watching a video or a podcast or reading an article? And if you were to pick one,
George B. Thomas, record download.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, that's a really good conversation. But to be honest with you, my answer is I would do all three because people learn in different ways. However, like me.
So we can give you access to a bunch of these. So what we do is we interview people that we want to learn from, just like you're here at Social Media Strategy Summit. It is probably one of the best conferences I've ever been to, where it feels like there's no secrets. Is everybody finding that? It's like if you want to know something or you want to find something out, turn to the right, turn to the left, walk up to the speaker. Probably one of the only conferences that we work with that are that sort of casual, if you will. So it fits within our spot. So this is a document, our webcast marketing lifecycle. So over the next 4 hours, I'm going to cover each and every one of these points. No, I'm not. But if you want this, we offer this up to you. Just ask us. We'll give it to you. But I'm going to cover some of the most important pieces of how in our webcast we have successfully not just been known for filling our webcasts, but converting to get people to do the next thing. And it's not a hard close. It's not a hard sell. But I'm going to give you a couple of the pieces on here. Step one is we are very particular about the platform that we use, and sometimes that's based on budget because there's licensing for a lot of these platforms, and sometimes it's based on what we need to do. I'm a big fan of customized registration. I want to get at least one or two good pieces of data from the people that are attending. In fact, sometimes, you know, a lot of people think phone number is important. I don't think so. I think when the time is right, we will get the phone number, if we need the phone number. Give us your name, your email, and ask them two questions that matter to them that you can use as part of your presentation. Just two good pieces of information. Do you need polling questions? The most successful webcasts that we have to keep audiences engaged. We do a polling question, or we have a question that we ask where they just type it in every 6 minutes. Every 6 minutes, we want some level of engagement. And so what this does is it keeps them tuned in. Although I do like GoToWebinar for the WebEx has this now too, but a tool that tells me how much my audience is engaged. So for instance, in GoToWebinar, it actually tells me if my screen is on the top of their, you know, is on the top, or are they checking their email, or are they somewhere else? I like that information. So another thing we will do is we will humanize our stories. One of the funnest tricks in the book is the fact that you can tell if somebody's not paying attention, a little asterisk goes on, and then you can go, So let's say that Jane, Tom, Bill, and Karen are in a sales meeting. And you'd be surprised, they come right back to our screen every time when they hear their name. Or you give them instruction and say, look at the screen. I'm going to show you something. So you just have to invite them back to the screen, because that's the hardest thing when you're in a live webcast to get people to come around. But you want that level of engagement, so when you go for the close or you go for the conversion, that you have them checked in to coming back to that screen. So that's a best practice of making sure you do that. We also deal a lot with sponsorships. People that help pay for the production and the marketing of the webcast, where we can actually have custom layouts and have that sponsor information there. And then reporting is a big thing. Step one is the platform. Step two is the campaign development. What are the goals? The goals may not be for somebody to buy something. They may just be that you want them to belong, to be part of the community. This is where the invitation or the ask or the come along with me, sort of join me, where that type of language goes 10 times further than a hard, fast call to action in any market. We've tested this in all markets. So then you want to target and have an actual message along with that. Step three, influencers. Now this we could talk about for a very long time, but all I want to tell you is I'm going to show you an example of a minute of a webcast that we created for American Family Insurance, probably holds our record to date, but we've actually accumulated close to 10,000 loyal members that continuously come, and then close to 100,000 people that are continuously downloading content after the fact. What did we do? We measured influencers that we wanted to interview, we wanted to learn from. But we didn't just go based on their topic, we went based on their network. So we looked at their network and make sure that it was a good match for our network. So we always make sure that we look at that. The next thing is making sure that you pace yourself every 6 minutes. You're engaging with the audience, gathering some more information, making sure that you get information, making sure that you're giving them good value. And then have a really clear last call to action. How am I doing on time?
I knew it.
I have so much more I want to tell you guys. So what I'm going to do is that if you stop by our booth, we have like a whole longer presentation on this. We'll give you access to that and that checklist that you saw. So
there's my close.
So no, but we like to share that stuff, and you can download it from our website as well. So have a clear close. So real quick, this I think has been the most compelling thing. We've studied this time and time again. At the end of the event, what kind of social interaction can we have with the people that participated in the event, and more importantly, the people that missed it? So what's interesting is a lot of people spend a lot of time with the people that were in the webcast. You've already have them, but that's a separate journey. What about the people that missed it? So we'll take special consideration. We'll actually look at the profile of the people that missed it, craft a special message to them, and then use that to bring those people in. We'll invite them on social media. We'll invite them for a special gift or something to download. Not just the recording, but something else that maybe that they could use that they missed out on. So make sure you have a sort of a sequence on that. And then, of course, a call to action. Now, related to events, Social Media Strategy Summit. They're also one of our clients. We help not only webcast from here, but we also help them with the virtual conferences. So what we found is that typical, as a Social Media Strategy Summit, how many people are tweeting? Hashtag SMSS Summit, yes? So we'll notice that there's a huge social impact at the beginning, and then while we're here, It's like you almost have to turn your notifications off unless you're here or you can't be here and you want to stay tuned in. And then all of a sudden, it tapers off. Well, what we found is that if we can insert relatable webcasts between events, where we can have webcast, main event, depending on your timing and your spacing, that we can actually have more successful events. So you get your influencers and your sponsors to play with these in-between virtual events. So it feels like you never left. It feels like you can always be with the great people that you're meeting at this conference, that you're learning from at this conference. So it's a huge opportunity to sort of stay with the community that you've built and the friends that you've built here. Unless you don't like them, then you don't have to. So, but the idea here is to repeat and build community. And this has been sort of the secret to what we found. So like I said, virtual events. Did anybody attend this last one that we did with Starbucks, Denny's? So see, now you guys can attend the next one. So what's nice is you continuously get to learn. So the summary, top five steps out of that long list. I'd say platform selection is one of the most important things because that's going to determine the experience of the user. Campaign development, influencer marketing plays a huge role. Conversion, and then post-event follow-up. So here is a sample of a professional webcast with, this one was with Matt Howard from Eat Street. He went from a Badger dorm room to a national company, and we were able to feature him on here.
We didn't have problems with it. Overall, it was great. Then what had started to happen that we didn't really understand was gonna continue to happen, which was, there was, you know, just because we had the product out there and it was getting orders and it was working, doesn't mean it was going to work flawlessly. Like, there was going to be bugs, there was going to be things that we missed.
So we had 20,000 people actually not just watch this live, but then also watch the podcast that we created from this. But the interesting thing is, this was right around the time that we discovered we didn't want to necessarily learn what they know about now. We wanted to learn about all the things, all the challenges they had, all the things that happened to them along the way. So sort of that being real and understanding the good, the bad, and the ugly of getting there. So when we started turning those interviews around, it changed the audience's perspective and their engagement. So Ryan Pena and I were just talking before this, and I think one of the main themes is
have problems with
to have fun and also be real. So there's an element there of having fun and being real. So I want to invite you guys to just think about that. And while you're here at the summit, if you're learning something and you really enjoy what you're learning here at the summit and you're really getting some good value out of it, then help Brianna Jacobs and the team out by stopping downstairs, not only thanking them, but we're actually doing video testimonials. So what was the name of your advertising agency? Amazing. So now you can say that on camera. We're gonna broadcast that. We're gonna tag your company in it, and you're gonna be part of a nice big community that's all learning together. So sounds like a great idea. So each and every one of you have that same opportunity, and Brianna really appreciates that because she does work hard to put this together. And if you want to learn from us on a regular basis, we have Ryan Pena, Mary Rodriguez, a whole bunch of folks on the Influence Factory every Wednesday. And then you can get those podcasts. Where, Jackson? I don't even know what those are. So what we do is we take our webcast, we podcast it, we blog. So we do a pre-blog and a post-blog, and we take all the content that we learn out of that, and then we send that out, and then we use that for social media posts, and we recycle those about every 60 to 90 days, depending on the volume that we have. So let's take a few questions while we have time. Come on, you gotta have questions. Yes, sir. No, that's awesome. So we do what we call a mild refresh. So we have a social media team I was jealous. You said you had 15. We only have about 7 on our social media team. So it depends on the bandwidth of your team, but what you want to do is sometimes you can have some really good evergreen content. So if the best practices, like some of the ones that I showed you on video marketing, really don't change, you could maybe just pick a different piece out of there, and then when you cycle that content, pick a different step or a different piece out of that list. That's what I like about lists. If we have the top 5 things, you can emphasize the first one, talk about that, post it, drive people back maybe to the blog or the video, and then take the second one, put that one out, and then you have a pretty good gap or a spread on that. So it depends on the relationship that we're building with the audience. So one of the things we look at is, like, what's our ultimate goal? Do we want that person to hang around, and are they really an ideal contact? And do we want to generate not just that instant relationship, or do we want them to bring us people? So we have sort of a metric by which we look at the individual relationship, and then we look at the collective network. So a lot of times, if somebody seems really engaged and they have a highly active network, we'll actually begin to invite, we'll call those, you know, those are basically micro influencers, if you will. We'll actually get and engage with those a little more. So we actually have a newer tactic that we've been using, that when they engage with us, we actually circle around and engage with a piece of their content. So we'll actually not just watch the people that are cycling in, but we'll sort of do a boomerang effect where we come around and actually go engage with their content, and we don't ask for anything. We're just showing up in their network, and they'll go, oh, Social Jack. You know, they'll start seeing that brand and that relationship builds, and you'll be surprised what follows back. Great question. So it used to be like the sort of the 3-minute rule, but I think it's really the engagement rule. So our production streams go in 20-minute increments. So it'll be 20, 20, 20. You'll notice, like, even at the virtual conference that we do, it's literally 2 hours, but it's in 20-minute chunks. So we'll do a 20 or a 40 or a 60. It depends on the audience and what the content is. But we do the 20-minute rule just because we can measure that and we can determine. And sometimes you have to make an adjustment. You have to look and see what the level of engagement was. There fall off? Did they stick around? And you'll want to adjust it based on that. And then the small ones, the small sort of social streaming, the live ones, we usually keep those around 3 minutes. But if there's high engagement, no reason not to run on. It depends on your frequency. Are you doing one a week? One a month. Yeah, so if you're doing regulars like that, sort of like what we do with Influence Factory, I would train your audience. Once you dial in the best time, is that it's the the last Thursday of the month or something like that, where you have, like, it's on, you know, it's at a fixed time. And then that way it's like, don't forget, you know, and then it's more of a reminder. And then even the people that didn't know about it are like, oh, what's this? So there's a curiosity factor. So we'll plant reminders out there even to a new audience, and we actually get a high traction off of that. And then they'll get trained, and it goes in there. And we use a lot of, calendar invites too, where we have people actually put those in their calendars, and they actually have the link to that, you know, webcast or that live in there. Are we good? So everybody learn at least one new thing? I know, this is tough. This conference has so much cool things. And if you guys do want that checklist, just let me know. I'll be happy to give you that checklist that we use. So thanks, everybody.